Welcome to the July 11th, 2020 session of TeamSpeak for OpenHPSDR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week I've had a number of things going on, both Zooms and some programming and some work, so not too much in the radio world. So next on the list, we have Greg, ZL3IX, and Greg is shown as mic muted. Then we have Henry, PA0HJA, shown as recording and away. And then we have Mike, AAAK, shown as recording and mic muted. And we thank Mike for posting the TeamSpeak sessions to tsarchive.openhpsdr.org. Next, we have Phil, VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Dave. Morning, afternoon, evening. Oh, sorry, another busy week, so no time for OpenHPSDR, I'm afraid. But mighty cold, only a couple of degrees Celsius this morning, which is fortunately unusual for us. Back to you, Dave.
Fine business. Mike's just a little hot, so thought I'd let you know. Next on the list is Bill, KD5TFD. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, folks. Yeah, not too much to say here. In contrast to Phil, it's mighty warm here in Texas. I think we had about 101 here today, and it's going to get warmer going forward. But, yeah, busy with work and not doing too much radio stuff. So I'll just turn back to you, Dave.
Well, fine business. And next on the list, we have Bob, the E3GKM, shown as recording and away. And that brings us to the end of the list, so we're open for general discussion.
User disconnected from your channel.
Is my mic hot or is it toned down a little bit?
It's fine.
Sounds good.
Thanks for your comments on Rust last week. I did have a look and it does look interesting, but a fairly challenging learning curve, I think.
Yeah, it's one of those things that does what all the other programming languages do. It's has certain things it does really well, and it's just, do you want to bother to learn a new language, or do you want to just use one of the languages you already know or know part of to do the same thing?
Yeah, I think I'll certainly consider it for projects later on, but yeah, I can't afford the learning time at the moment. But looks very interesting. Some of the features it has are very, very good.
Yep, and if you have somebody that already knows it, like you were talking, a colleague knew some of it, maybe you can use that as a learning experience.
Yeah, exactly. I think we'll get a phase one completed and then review about redoing parts of it. But no, it was interesting discussions.
This week I discovered I'm now working on software-defined networking. I find software-defined radio easier.
So is that like SDR but using cables?
Well, that was the question I asked. It's, you know, SDR is fairly easy to me. Is you just, you know, take your signals to an A to D converter, and then you just do, you know, just do math where you used to have to, you know, build finicky analog circuits and do, you know, weird black arts type things. And I said, you know, where the hell's the, you know, where's the simple description of software defined networking that matches that? And it turns out there is none. I wonder what else I'll discover that's software defined.
Is it mostly in regular kind of software, or does it have FPGAs involved?
No, I guess it could, but it's typically, it's more, I'm not sure software defined is really the right, well, I guess it is, it's what the industry uses. I view it more as more layers of virtualization or more layers of encapsulation.
Well, that sounds common these days.
Well, if I type software defined into Google, it gives me for completions, the top one is radio. I wonder if that's specific to me. Storage, perimeter, networking. This is probably peripheral specific to me because then the next two are Flex Radio and HPSDR.
Well, I've got, I did Software Defined Networking Explained, and my top one is, what is SD-WAN?
Well, actually, now we've got, if you put just software defined and actually search that, you get, what is defined software? What is software defined architecture? What is software defined everything? What is software defined networking? So it's a fairly, I guess everything is software defined now.
I guess we were ahead of the curve and didn't know it.
You've got software defined infrastructure.
Even some YouTube videos, Bill.
Yeah, now even executives have come to putting out videos and things like that. And actually, working from home now, I've got a I have a TV in my office here with a NVIDIA Shield box on it, which makes it Chromecast capable. And one day I realized I could play the little ExecuSpeak videos up on the TV, and works much better.
Oh, very nice.
I put them up there droning on in the corner and do real work on my regular screen. So are things still fairly stable COVID-wise in Western Australia?
Yeah, we're pretty good. Mainly, numbers less than 10 from people arriving from flying in from overseas. But unfortunately, we got a second spike in Victoria, which is looking not looking very good, but no, we're pretty safe here, Bill.
Oh, I see. Wish we could say the same thing here, but we can't seem to get our act together.
I thought you were dropping your numbers by not testing so many people.
Yeah, can people stop getting sick and showing up at the hospital? That strategy might work.
No, we were looking at opening our borders so you could travel interstate, but I don't know when that's going to happen now. I think they'll wait till Victoria numbers have dropped down to, very, 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 very few. But it's hundreds a day, which I know in comparison to the rest of the world is small, but it has been zero there for a very long time.
I was wondering, the idea of closing the state borders sounds like a good idea, but I think it'd be hard to implement here. Is it relatively... I know Western Australia is different, but up and down the East Coast, is it hard for them to close off the state borders?
There's very few main roads that go from north to south. So yes, it's fairly easy to do it, and they have done that now. The Queensland and New South Wales are closing their borders to Victoria. For us, it's much easier. I think there's only two roads in. So there's a river you can swim across, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, I was talking to my friend in Melbourne, and I said, well, not very many people drive to Western Australia. And he said, yeah, most people do it once just to say they've done it.
Yes, that's right. But there's, the transport, food, to the supermarkets, etc. There's a very large number of that they come across daily, but they are actually do a temperature test or something as the lorry drivers arrive at the border, and they let them through. But otherwise, unless you've got some good reason for having to come, then you don't get allowed in.
Yeah. Do you still have a train?
Yes, we do.
I had heard about that train across, and it sounded like it'd be much more enjoyable than driving yourself.
Yeah, my wife's actually done it. My parents did it, and it's very enjoyable. But I think for me, the scenery is very constant. Shall we put it that way?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they call it the Nellabor, so that tells you what you're going to not see.
Yeah, nothing and boring. It's a good combination for Nellabor.
So is it the national government closing the state borders, or the state governments?
The national government suggests it, and the state governments do it.
Okay, I don't know. I wonder legally here if you could even close the damn borders without the federal government.
Well, one of the owners of one of the large mining companies has gone to the federal court because we've shut our borders, and he's taking action against us for having them shut. But I'm not sure exactly what. I think it's anti-constitutional. So I think he's within his rights to actually try and take action. But what's going to happen, I don't know.
Yeah, I suspect you have a similar problem here, where it you can't distinguish between citizens of one state and another. But interesting.
But for stopping the virus, it seems like an effective strategy.
Yeah, well, it certainly worked for us. The border we didn't close was the cruise ships coming into the harbour. I think if we'd have, realised that's where the cases were coming from, we'd have probably got the numbers down even quicker, even earlier.
Actually, Dave, you can have FPGAs in your SDN.
Well, that would make sense. I could see like a router card with a FPGA in it.
Yeah, and looking at NIC cards with FPGAs on them, or smart NICs with FPGAs on them. Well, folks, I'm going to go find some dinner here, but good chatting with you, and catch you all next week.
73.
Yeah, I'm off as well. 73s, Dave. 73s. But Dave, have you had a chance to look at the SDR Academy videos?
Yeah, I've looked at quite a few. Did I give you a link?
You may have done. I haven't got it. If you did, I have a link to the ones that were on during the day, but not the subsequent posting.
I'll send you a link to the YouTube site that, and they're slowly accumulating. There's still more to come.
Okay, thank you.